it is, he can do it now. Sermons from this series number one, he can do it right now. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this time, God, Lord, in your engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Father, download from heaven your wisdom, your anointing, your creativity, your power. Father, put on display your splendor. Father, let us, Father, Lord, be in awe of your majesty. Father, clothe us now, Father, with your word. And let us, Father, walk out of this place in true righteousness, knowing that it is because of the grace of God we are who we are. Now bless us, God. Open up our ears. Unclog the mess that's been in us for years, God, Lord. Break every chain, every strong hold, every place of bondage. Release us into our destiny. Let this be a moment in time that you speak from eternity. Your perfect will be done in your people's life. Have your way in this place. Do it right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Somebody shout now. I know you understand that we are living in a quick, fast, and in a hurry generation. We talk about it all the time. This is truly the microwave generation. Everybody wants everything to be fast. Everybody wants everything to be quick. Everything has to be in a hurry. I tell people all the time, you know, when they come to Mr. Wonderful's, you want fresh chicken, and I can't give it to you in 90 seconds, because if so, there'd be blood everywhere. To be crispy on the outside, but tore up on the inside. And so many people, we want stuff fast, but we don't want to go through the process of waiting. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. We want fast cars, and we want fast money. We want fast cell phones. You know, 3G is almost obsolete right now. The lady at the airport yesterday, she had picked us up, and she was so giddy and so happy. At 41, had just had a two-year-old child, and amen, we was happy. She said, I got a picture I just took a few minutes ago before I picked you up with Mike Epps and Bruce Brooks. And she said, they talked about my phone so bad, they ranked my phone. She said, because they said it was old, outdated. We in a 4G generation, baby. And I'm just telling you, everybody wants everything to be quick, fast, and in a hurry. It's so amazing, because if you understood the process, hey man, as faith people, we keep putting everything off until back then, or way over yonder, or to happen soon, or I'm believing God for my victory. But how many of you know that there's some things that God can do right now? There's some things God can do immediately. It doesn't take him a week. It doesn't take him a month. It doesn't take him years. Amen. There's a place in God. There's another realm in him where he can move right now according, amen, to your faith. Anybody got any faith that produces now? See, there are some principles that we can extrapolate from the word of God that'll teach us that God can do anything he wants, amen, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He doesn't take forever to get it. What God is looking for, are you living by faith? Are you walking by faith? Are you trusting him by faith? Do you believe that he can get it done? Are you naming it? Are you claiming it? Are you declaring it? Are you decreeing it? Are you saying to the mountain, be thou? Do you believe that he can move in your situation? Somebody shout right now. The more I study the word of God, the more I keep coming across these texts that show me it doesn't take God to move forever. 24 hours is too long. He can do, hey man, a right now miracle in your life. Do you have faith to believe for a right now miracle in your life? He can change your situation right now. Come on, you ain't got to keep praying, Lord, if you just find the grace to do it one day, Lord. I'll be waiting here patiently, God. God is saying, where is your urgency? They want everything else to move at the speed of light. Why ain't the faith people believing, amen, at the speed of light? We keep waiting on God to do it in the by and by, or he's going to do it in a few years or in a few months. What about right now? Do anybody believe God can move in their situation? I came to encourage somebody this morning that he can move in your situation right now. Your prophecies can come to pass right now. Thank God that about this time tomorrow, everything, it will change in your life. I decree and declare that over this house. By this time tomorrow, everything is changing. That you are shifting into another place in God. That the finances and the wealth of the kingdom are being released. That your molecular structure is lining up to the way he created you, fearfully and wonderfully. No sickness and disease has any place in your life. I'm decreeing that amen, about this time tomorrow, everything. But there is somebody in the room that if you have an encounter with Christ right now, everything is about to change right now. Boy, y'all, I need some people that believe in right now miracles. overnight successes. Right now, amen, phenomenon. Right now, millionaires. Right now, blessing. I need some people, amen, that you ain't got to go to school forever to get blessed. Thank God for education. But has anybody got faith in the room that God, amen, can use your faith to change your situation? Somebody shout, God can bless me. The drought is over. He's the same God of the Bible. He's the same God today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My hood does not determine my blessed place. You don't determine my blessed place. My family's lineage, I don't care what they had, what they didn't have. I don't care who had a baby before 12 and who didn't. I'm no longer up under a curse. I am blessed, hallelujah. Come on, you got to talk to yourself right now. I'm not living, amen, in no dingy, rinky-dink, amen, dilapidated, ran down, no electricity, no gas, no phone, no gas in the car. Amen, life's out, the devil is alive. The curse has been broken over my life, and I'm blessed. When? I don't care if I spit, cough up, amen, slide. I don't care if I roll on. I'm going to get this message across. God wants to move in your life right. Yeah. Give your neighbor a high five and shout now. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He never told us we had to wait forever. The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Somebody shout now faith. Yeah. Hallelujah. I want you to get excited about God moving right now. Yeah. You can pick up a phone call right now. Somebody left you $100 million. Talk to me. Come on. Come on, you can walk in a convenience store and find a ticket on the floor worth $200 million. Talk to me. Is anybody expecting God to do anything? Come on, you. That's why when I'm walking around, I ain't looking down with my head down because I'm depressed. I'm looking to see what then dropped on the ground that, hey, I can pick up. I'm looking. I believe wherever I go, there's a blessing with my name on it. Does anybody know there's a blessing with your name on it? I'm just saying, you got to believe God for the impossible. I don't know who we going to use. I don't know how he going to do it. I don't know who we going to talk to. I don't know who we going to wake up in a dream. But I believe. If we can get together and believe together, we can get our expectation together, there's nothing God will not do for us individually and corporately as a church. Amen. 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 If when we start talking about $500,000, $1 million, and we say no way possible, we can get it done, then you ain't the one I'm talking to. When you start thinking that if you made $250, amen, in 20 minutes, don't no preacher deserve that much, yeah, I ain't talking to you then. I'm looking at some people saying it wasn't enough. I'm looking for $1 million a day to come into my life because I need to bless some nations. Come on. Come on, you got to believe for the impossible. Anybody can believe for this hood stuff. I ain't talking about no hood stuff. I'm talking about him doing exceedingly and abundantly above anything that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. Where is the power? In us. Where is God? In us. Where is the anointing? In us. That means we have to tap into the greater one on the inside and start living from the inside out because he don't think the way we think. We have the mind of Christ, but we ain't using it. Come on. You hang out with anybody long enough, you're going to start talking and acting like them. Huh? Please, you got buddies, and they talk all day. What's up, dog? Y'all just hanging out. Next thing you know, a day or two later, you see your girl. What's up, dog? You know, you start assimilating what you done, hey, man, put yourself around. In the hoods, you know, we was real fly and talk real fast and fancy. What's up with it, baby? What's up with it, my... And everybody in the hood, what's up, baby? Because whatever you hang around, that's what you become. Now watch this. I'm hanging around it, and I'm becoming that. But when I got saved, he moved in, but I'm still attached to that. Why? Because I forgot that he moved in, so therefore I got a tenant, amen, that's fully paid, and I'm still working, amen, with broke folks on corners. Y'all ain't going to talk to me, so I need to learn how to live. Let me go back to my Joel Osteen anointing. Let me calm down. I got too much God in me to talk about what ain't happening and what can't happen and what all the negative realities that I have feasted on for you. The devil is a liar. I didn't get saved to stay negative. I didn't get saved to stay broke. I hooked up, hey man, with somebody that I ought to think like, I ought to talk like, I ought to act like, and he owns, hey man, the cattle on a thousand hills. He is the creator of the universe. He lives on the inside of me, and the Bible says, I have his mind. I have his thoughts, and his ways, hey man, they became my ways when he moved in on the inside, but I got to learn to live from the inside out. Amen. I got to believe that God can do it for me right now. And so let's go to our text in the beginning. Amen. Of verse 5. Hallelujah. I can stop preaching right now if somebody just caught the now moment. Huh, that you can have it right now. Make no excuse for the flesh. Come on. We all get the same gift in life every day of life. Somebody shout 24 hours. What are you doing with yours? What's the difference between Bill Gates' 24 hours and your 24 hours? It's what he does with it. What's the difference between Tiger Woods' 24 and your 24? It's what he practices, amen, on a daily that becomes his mastering, watering, wealthy place. What are we doing with that 24 that God has given us? We all get the same 24. Come on, who actually dreaming of something bigger and better? Who actually thinking, hey man, of something big? Who actually writing down on paper how they going to pull it, hey man, bring it to pay? Who actually taking the necessary steps to get it done? Come on, you can be blessed right now. You can have a good job right now. You can have a nice house right now. You can have a great marriage right now. You can have wonderful kids right now. You can have nice clothes right now. You can have a healthy body right now. You don't have to wait, amen, for years. You can have it right now if you would just believe God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The Bible says when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This is a test question. The next verse says, he said, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread, $40 worth of bread is not sufficient, amen, for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now watch this. Because this is what happens in our flesh. Whenever, amen, when we're not fully vested in the God, whenever we're not fully trusting in the God, the flesh will always try and figure out how we can accomplish something without God. I said the flesh will always try and figure out how can it accomplish something without God. Come on, talk to me. And so Philip said, man, 200 penny worth, $40 worth of bread ain't enough. He said it's 5,000 men by themselves. Not counting the women and the children, 15,000 people. He said, we got $40, amen, to work with. He said, no way. But Jesus was putting something out there because Jesus wanted him to say, I don't know how we're going to do it in the flesh, but I'm sitting right next to the bread manufacturer because I heard you was the bread that came down from heaven. He really wanted Philip to respond and say, hey man, I don't know how we're going to do it in the flesh, but I know that you have an answer. Because he wanted Philip to get out of the natural into the supernatural and look at God and what he had already done, how he had already turned water into wine, how he had already raised the dead, and look at him instead of looking at the carnal natural situation. We get problems, the first thing we do is we look at lawyers, we look at people, we look, amen, at stuff. And how many of us actually look to God? Your first response is in praying. Your first response is saying, God, I don't know how it's going to get done. My faith and my trust is in you. Whenever it's too hard for you, it's a perfect opportunity for God. Look at me. Come on, I ain't talking to depressed, lowly, amen, people who think nothing of themselves. I'm talking to people who are kingdom people, sons of the Most High God, kings in the earth. I'm talking to people who ought to be shouting because their Father owns everything and he wants to bless them. My neighborhood does not define me. Hallelujah. I'll be right back. I got to talk to myself right quick. Because I don't know how I can preach this good and some people will be sitting up in there like fadoop fadoop like huh what who 10 minutes later talk to me. Put your hand on your head. Put your other hand on your chest. Say, he got a blessing with my name on it. Bless yourself right now. I am blessed. My Father is in control. My Father, he is on top. Amen. Listen, Kristen, a little kid got in, you know, a situation with Kristen, a little boy. Hey, man, he tried to, you know, push my daughter. My daughter came home and she said, "Daddy, the boy touched me." I said, "What? How big is he?" She said, "He this big and he this wide." I said, "He the perfect size for a butt whooping because he didn't mess with my child." And that's how God feels about us. The enemy is messing with our stuff and he wants to fight for his people. He want to bless you. He want to help you. He wants your life to be the better. He wants you to have a testimony. He wants you to testify. "I came to the church. I was still sipping and tripping, still smoking the good stuff," he said, "but one day I heard the word, I got saved and full of the Holy Ghost, and then the next day I got a job. It changed my life forever. Now I'm driving the best, living in the best, wearing the best, and the Lord been good to me." Y'all ain't gonna see, God wants you to have a testimony how he turned your life. Nudge your neighbor and say, "Has he turned your life around yet?" Nudge him, ask him, "Do you believe it?" Please. He can do it right now. Please. There's a little boy here. The little boy got 5 barley loaves. Just imagine 5 bagels. And he got 2 small fishes. Somebody say, what's in his hand? Say, what's in his hand? What's simpler? Just say this, the seed. God always changes situations by what's in your hand. And many times people miss out on seed opportunities because they say they don't have enough, amen, to give God their best. But at the end of the day, all Moses had was a stick. And he was able to part the Red Sea because it was not the stick, it was the God who was behind the stick. When David came to get ready to fight Goliath, all he had was 5 smooth stones. But it wasn't the stones, it was the God whose anointing was going to be behind the stones. And many people keep looking, hey man, at their welfare check and their paycheck, and they're looking at their degrees and their history, and they're looking at what they got and what they don't got, and they keep judging, hey man, and sizing up their life by that. And God is saying, "I'm trying to get your attention, hey man, off of that, but take that and put it in the right hands so I can multiply it." You got to believe. See, this is the place right now where we got to settle down and teach this. You got to believe something that you've heard in this place that's going to activate your faith so you can rest in God. Because some of y'all scared and you saved. Come on, you start confessing under your breath. And I pray by the time I get to my climax that you'd be able to roll with me. But just start mumbling right now. "I ain't never scared. I ain't never scared. I ain't never afraid. I wish I would have done." Come on, because there's a place coming, amen, before we close this boy up, where you're going to have to, amen, release all of that fear and trust God. Yes. Come on, your actions, they show that you're terrified to be faithful to God. Come on, you think, if I give God a slice of my pie, ain't going to be enough left for me and my children. Huh? Amen. Talk to me. God trying to get something, amen, through you, but he hadn't got the message to completely, amen, be activated in you. You got to trust God. You got to believe in the Most High. You cannot get caught up on your skill level. "I'm so smart and I'm so gifted and I got these degrees and I've been doing this for 30 years. Boy, I've been sowing before you was born. I can sew your lips up if I got to." You don't know who, and the whole thing, he don't want you to get caught up on what you can do. He wants you to trust in what he can do. And he wants to take your little and turn it into your windfall. He wants to take your not enough and give you more than you've ever seen in your life. But you are running scared. One day I was at the skating rink. I had 2 legs. Started a fight. I did it. Yeah, I did it. I didn't realize what was inside of the skating rink. And so some brothers, they was at the skating rink. They was skating, doing their thing. And I thought that they was off huff. And I wanted to start a fight because I was with my homeboys. Amen. And so the brothers walk around. And I'm like, "H-O-M-E-B-O-Y, I'm going to be one." And I got my little chant going on in the skating rink. And they walk across me. And so 2 of them come at the same time. And I take both hands and I punch both of them in the mouth at the same time. Hit both of them in the mouth. Started a whole war up in the skating rink. It's a big melee going on. And watch this. Go outside. It's a rainstorm outside. Fighting in the mud. So I didn't realize that they had a whole nother crew outside. I thought it was just us. I'm talking about being scared, running. And so next thing I know, we fighting, you know, and we about even on the fight side. And then there's these guys coming over, and they got bats and shovels. And I said, what the world? And so these guys with bats and shovels, I guess they had a plan to beat us and bury us. And so, watch this. Because this is how we come to church. I'm cool. I'm tough. I'm bluffed. I'm bad. I'm all of that, right? Then when it come down to offering time, we... Watch this. So this is what happens. I see the guys coming with the buckets. I realize that it was real rough on that side. So when I turned around, everybody I was with was running up the skating rink's hill. Now, mind you, it's dark, but I'm half white. So I'm lighting up the pathway of everybody that's running. So they chasing me. I'm running for my life. I runs all the way up the hill, across the supermarket plaza, diving over 10 feet walls for my life because I was scared. At the end of the day, the flesh brought no comfort. The flesh had no strength. The flesh was not as bright as it thought it was. And the flesh definitely wasn't as tough as it thought it was. I came up against my match. And I was running. And many of you, you're afraid to give God everything. You're afraid to surrender to God everything. You're terrified to trust him. You're terrified, hey man, you're running from God. And so instead of running to your blessing, you run with your curse. And you stay there when everything can change to a decision. Instead of fighting against God, you fight for him. Look at me, grown people. I don't care if you're on welfare today, you don't have to stay there. I don't care, amen, if you're homeless right now, you do not have to stay there. What you have to do is you have to get your faith in line. You got to take God at his word. You got to trust him. Does that make sense to anybody? And so watch this. A little boy in the midst of 15,000 people was the only one who had the courage to take God at his word. The little boy had a lunch. It had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish inside of it. Watch this. And the little boy gives his lunch to the disciples. And the Bible says the disciples take the lunch and they give it to Jesus. Listen, I'm just a disciple. I'm taking your little lunch and I'm giving it to Jesus. Because I recognize God has to use somebody in the earth as a point of contact. He has to use a man of God because physically he's no longer here. So he takes a man of God in the body of Christ and he connects you with them locally. And he said the blessing will flow. Hey man, as you release your trust in him, you also got to trust me. And see, this is where many people, they struggle because they already said he got too much as it is. We can't imagine, hey man, what he doing with all of this money. Please, please, you know, and I cannot convince you. And that has to be something that you make up in your mind. It doesn't matter if I said, hey, man, and took the bathroom and shoved it, hey, man, in the toilet or sat and spent it, hey, man, on ice cream sandwiches. Your faith is in God and your connection with him. You listen, you deal with imperfect people. Yes, pastors are imperfect people. Don't put me on no pedestal, but give me the honor that's due with the ministry and the calling that God has placed upon my life. But at the end of the day, this is biblical principle. God takes your little lunch. He puts it in the disciples' hands. The disciples put it in the master's, amen, kingdom. And Jesus, the Bible says he blesses it. The Bible says he gives thanks. I'm telling you, many people are missing out on the blessings of God because they refuse to take what they have and give it to the king, amen, so that he can bless it because he has increase on his mind. I want you to hear me on this morning. Jesus made everybody, he made everyone sit down. And so after Jesus had blessed what the child had given, the Bible says he then made distribution unto his disciples. He took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and began to break it. And he put it in all of the disciples' hands. Watch this. And as he put the blessing back, amen, on them, they took what Jesus put in his hand, in their hands, and then they began to go and feed everybody in the village. Watch this. 15,000 people. 15,000 people, five loaves, two fish. Every time they took a piece off, another piece came. Every time they took a chunk off and they began to bless somebody else, it kept multiplying. It kept multiplying. Every time, amen, every time, amen, somebody came with faith to receive a piece, the loaf kept multiplying. It never ran out. It kept multiplying. But they had to get their courage up, amen, to receive what God had for them. The little boy had the courage to give his lunch. God had the wisdom to bless, amen, what was in their hand. He didn't tell the little boy, wait till you got 10 loaves. Wait until you got 4 fish. He said, give me what you have. And when you put it in the hands of the anointing, what you have, it'll be multiplied and blessed. But if you eat everything that you possess, there's no harvest for you or anybody else. And that's the problem, is we eat everything that God has put in our hands and we're not seeing multiplication, and God wants to multiply you. Yeah. Boy, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. I guess y'all thinking real good this morning. Talk to me. He gave thanks and blessed it. Do you know every time that you show God that you trust him, that he becomes grateful over what you give, and he gives thanks on your behalf and releases a blessing of multiplication back into your life? It's so funny, because when they got through feeding 15,000, which I'm sure took hours to do, I was at a restaurant in Houston the other day. They were so slow. It was just 12 of us, and it took them 2 hours to finally complete the last piece of fried chicken. I said, is this Mr. Wonderful? Talk to me. But so can you imagine you going to your favorite restaurant, and there's 20 people in there, and it takes an hour before you get out? 15,000 people being fed. And watch this. The Bible says they were fed until they were full. Now watch this. It says they had so much fish after the blessing got on it, is that you would think that everybody would just be able to get a little scale or a little sardine, a little swipe, amen, of the fish, a little piece of the loaf. But the Bible says, if you study the text, it says they ate till they were full, amen, after God gave thanks of what they gave. And it says not only did they eat, everybody in the building ate. There was no lack among them. And then when it was over, the little boy who had given the five loaves and two fishes, the Bible says he had 12 basketfuls left over. 12 basketfuls. Baskets that size. A little boy, harvest came. Did it come 2 years later?
No.
Did it come 2 weeks later?
Now.
It looked like he got a right now blessing.
Yeah.
It looked like the moment he trusted God and the moment he released his faith is that he got a right now blessing. The same day, within the same hour, stuff started to change. Within the same moment, things began to get better. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the body began to heal. Legs began to grow. Eyes began to pop back into sight. When does it take place? The moment that you release your faith. What is wrong with us? We gotta release our boy. Stay calm. Got like fire shut up in my somebody say he can do it right now. Right now. The little boy got a right now blessing. Now watch the purpose of the right now blessing. The little boy couldn't even carry all the blessing home with him. He was a little boy. He started out with 2 sardines. In fact, he had a little sack lunch. When 15,000 people got through eating, 12 baskets was left over. Do you know that the Bible says God wants the cup to run over? He wants the oil to get on everybody that comes in your parameter. And so, hey man, the little boy got so blessed that he was able to be a blessing. Again, that's why you think giving is losing, but giving is gaining, because he gives seed to the sower. But if you ain't never sown nothing, you ain't got a right to receive no harvest. And I'm telling you, he wants to, amen, this day for the sower, amen, to get so blessed that the day that he puts his seed into the ground, that a harvest comes up that same day. God wants to bless you right now. He wants to change your situation right now. You want your situation to be changed? You got to trust him. You got to trust him. 12 baskets full is left over. That sounds like a 100-fold return. Let me say this. You have to expect God to do something in your life. Do you expect blessing? Talk to me. Do you expect good or evil in your life? You know, the Bible has a scripture that talks about evil forebodings. Evil forebodings is when you have tormenting thoughts in your mind. Like, even though I'm eating a steak right now, tomorrow we probably ain't gonna have no food. Even though I'm okay right now, the evil foreboding says, well, I know tomorrow I'm probably gonna be sick and something bad gonna happen. And so many of us, instead of believing every day can be a good day, many of us live from a place where, wow, something good happened today. But our expectation is something bad is going to happen. No, you got to know from a favored, amen, place that God, he wants to bless you every day of your life, even while you're in the storm. Yes. He wants to bless you. He has a desire to bless you and your family. You and your friends. He wants to put more blessing on your life than you've ever seen. Don't you think it was tough? Amen, for the little boy at first? Because it probably was Philip just walked up on the little boy like, let me get that lunch. And the little boy was like, what? I'm about to give you my lunch. Then Philip had to finesse the boy and say, hey, this for Jesus. Huh? The little boy said, this for Jesus? You telling me I can get my lunch right now to the master and the situation is about to change? Yeah. Come on. The little boy, hey man, when Philip told him that this was going into Jesus' hands, the little boy gave up his lunch and the little boy's life changed forever, because we still talking about the little lad, hey man, 2,000 years later, hey man, because he planted, hey man, 2 fish and 5 loaves, he had the courage to give up everything and to sacrifice everything for God so God can bless 15,000, and when it was over, he still blessed him. I'm telling you, when you stop living for yourself, because living for yourself in 40 years has not worked, and you start living, amen, for a cause bigger than yourself, that's when you're going to see your situation change. If you're too busy to pick somebody up, too busy to pray for somebody, too busy to buy groceries for a hungry family, then you're too busy to be blessed by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your hands together and bless the Lord anyway. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Jump down to verse 16. I'll be done by 12 o'clock. You can take some more. Huh? Because the point I want to make is he can do it right now. And he ain't got to beg you. You got to love him. Dr. Evie here didn't beg nobody. A man got up and said, Dr. Evie, in October I told you I was going to bring you a $10,000 seed. He said, I got my $10,000 a day. And if anybody want to bless him with me, let's all get in line tonight and be a blessing. Huh? My flesh got to thinking about, I want to go to the steakhouse while I'm here. My flesh was thinking, I want to go find me some cowboy boots. Huh? The flesh got angry. The flesh was like, the man worth $100 million. He don't need my little few hundred. The flesh was angry. I ain't gonna lie. I went back to the hotel like that dog. Hey man, from Roadrunner. Went back to the hotel that night thinking about what I had to bring back. Fuck a shocker, fuck a locker. My wife looking at me like, get it together, okay? Huh? Because the flesh doesn't want to be blessed. The flesh want to eat and be comfortable. But my spirit on the inside, it said, if you want a breakthrough, if you want to tap into a greater anointing, if you want to tap into a greater flow, you got to sow a seed. Huh? My mind started rehearsing, hey man, all of my faith victories that I've ever had in my life. I needed to sell, hey man, my store that I had in Oklahoma. Went to church that day and the pastor said, give 300 today. I said, with my head, you ever said no with your head but yes with your mouth? I said, okay. Okay. So I wrote the check, I released my faith. I said, I'm going to sell the building I've been trying to sell for 6 months. And I'm sitting up here at my other store and the phone rang. He says, this kid that owns In Him Clothing Store down here off of Peoria. I said, this is Ken. Who is this? He said, this is such and such, and I want to buy your building. I said, what? He said, I want to make an offer on your building. I said, well, make the offer. Then I said, I gladly accept it. Huh? And what I couldn't do in 6 months, God did it, hey man, through a seed offering in the same week. And I'm telling some of y'all that's terrified, hey man, to be faithful to God. He wants to bless you right now. He wants to bless you today. The same hour he wants your bodies to begin to amend. He wants to show up in your situation. Somebody shout. You keep talking about next week. And when you know what next week going to turn into? New Year's Eve service. And I'm telling you, up under this anointing, if you move in the morning and go apply, hey man, for some $40, $50 an hour jobs, it's going to happen. I'm telling you, under this anointing, if you step out, hey man, and go and ask for the scholarship, it's going to be given. I'm telling you, if you come out of your comfort zone and you dare, hey man, to open up technologies and to open up business, hey man, even if you ain't got but a little bit, I'm telling you that it will happen if you will step out and put it, hey man, in the master's hands so he can multiply and bless you. He don't need another New Year's Eve service. He don't even need me to preach another good message. What he needs you to do is make up in your mind that you're going to take me at God's word and that you're going to obey what you heard. Hey man, come from the word, and you're going to step out on the word come, and you're going to walk on water and change the world because you're full of faith in the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. If you tell me to preach a few more minutes, I will. If not, I quit right there. If you full, then I'm done. You got enough? Give me the black power sign if you're done. If you're done, just say it's enough. Is it enough? Huh? Do you want a little bit more? Huh? Then open up your brain and receive a dumping by the Holy Ghost because he wants to bless you right. Please. Look at verse 16. This is going to bless somebody. God is not mad at us. He's not angry with us. But this is what he respects. He does. Hey, he's no respecter of persons. But he is a respecter of faith. And you're trying to figure out whether people getting it and others ain't? Because he respects their faith. Do you trust him? Do you take God at his word? Huh? Pastor, you know, we singing them old good gospel songs. There's a storm out on the ocean and it's moving this old way. My soul ain't anchored in Jesus. We believe for the storm. But can I tell you that he is your help in the midst of the storm? Let me lay out my scenario before I read verse 16. Jesus has fed the 15,000, hey man, with five loaves and two fish. And he realized, now the people has realized that he is Messiah. They realize this is God in flesh. So Jesus recognizes that the people want to now take him and make him king. So the Bible says in prior verses, Jesus goes and hides himself in a mountain because he understands it's not his time. So he departs from there. Watch this. He sends his disciples to get on the sea so they can head towards Capernaum. Now watch this. He left them and went into the mountain. They now get on a boat and they go out 25 to 30 furlongs, 4 to 5 miles. 4 to 5 miles of rowing takes them conventionally in today's boats an hour. Row, 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 hour. Back then it probably took 2 hours for them to row to the point and place where we're going to begin to pick up the text. So Jesus is in the mountains. They are 5 miles in the middle of the sea. Somebody say right now.
Right now.
You got to catch this. Verse 16. And when evening was come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over to the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark. What was it?
Dark
is very significant because many times when it's at your worst, that's really when you're at your... I'm going to preach this in a minute. All right, and it says, and Jesus was not with them. And the Bible says, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Jesus seemed like he's out of the boat. And now a storm has come into the disciples' life. It's so amazing how everything can be going good one moment. Amen. And then all of a sudden it seems like God is nowhere around and all hell has broken loose. But I came today as a messenger to tell you, it doesn't matter what the storms look like. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Watch this. And the Bible says, so when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, and it says, all of a sudden, they see Jesus walking on the sea. Oh, I love this right here. Watch this. They are in a dark place, and a storm has come, and all of a sudden, God shows up in their situation because in all actuality, he never forgot about them. And so watch this. They had rowed for 2 hours, and then Jesus shows up, and he invades time from eternity, and now he suspends natural laws, and he now walks through the storm and walks on top of the water to see about the people that he wants to bless right now. He now comes through everything, amen, and this is a blessing for me because it doesn't matter how the storm looks like it's raging in your life. All you have to do is realize the word says, in the midst of your darkest place, here comes Jesus walking on water. And I'm telling you that he will invade time from eternity and walk down your situation because he has a blessing with your name on it. Boy, I ain't got no help in this Baptist church this morning, but I'm going to preach like I got some. Amen, right here. And so the Bible says, they see Jesus walking on the sea. When was the last time you walked on something that was supposed to kill you? Oh, see, y'all got to catch this. Y'all ain't never been through nothing. But if you ever been in a car accident, if you ever been shot, amen, at point blank range, if you ever been stuck up, if you ever been, amen, laid down with dogs and was supposed to come up with AIDS, and God protected you, amen, in whatever situation that you are, I'm telling you, you got a reason to shout this morning and to give him some praise and to tell him hallelujah and to tell him thank you, Jesus, because it's some stuff that should have killed you and you still here to talk about it. Please, take your seat so I can get out of here on time. Watch this. The Bible says, Jesus started drawing near unto them in the ship. Read this with me. It says, and he draws near unto the ship. And watch this, watch this. And they were afraid. And they were what? See, it's a dichotomy in this conversation because they were afraid of two things. They were afraid of the storm they were in. And then they were afraid of the God who came in another form than what he had come in previously. See, we can take the shouting Jesus when everything is all right. We can take the good Jesus. Oh, when I'm full of echo shekadaba, speaking in tongues. Oh, we can take, hey man, the good Jesus when he's blessing my paycheck. Oh, but can we still, hey man, clap and shout and praise and thank him while I'm in the storm? Can we still bless him when he shows up in a different way than what he's come in days past? And so Jesus didn't show up like they expected him. They thought that he would pull up on the side of them in their cousin's car, because we always try to figure out who God going to use to bless us. So we show a little bit more cleavage, and we let our G-string hang out a little bit above our waistline, and we try and manipulate situations, amen, in order to get other people to move, because we think they might be the one. But he didn't show up through the cousin. He didn't show up, amen, through the rich uncle. He showed up walking on the thing that had been walking over them. He showed up in the midst of the storm. He will show up a different way for you. I don't know how he gonna do it. In my mind, it's some tough stuff. In his mind, it's just walking on water. Come on, talk to me. I don't know how God gonna bless you with no degree. I'm just telling you, he gonna bless you. And he gonna do it today. About this time tomorrow, everything gonna change. I'm just telling you, he gonna do it right now. I'm telling you, he gonna suspend, amen, natural laws and show up supernaturally in your life, because he has a blessing with your name on it. And don't make no excuses how big you are, how cute you are, how blessed you are, how you ain't got no degree. Make no excuses for the flesh. Talk about how big he is and what he can do and what he can get accomplished and what he can bring to pass. Hallelujah. I'm done. Watch this. Jesus. Look at Jesus. Jesus is too cold. The storm is raging. Somebody say the storm. Anybody ever been in a tornado, hurricane? Huh? Mama Duncan, by the way, we're from down Kansas, Tulsa way. They got storms all the time. When the storm come, it's amazing, because, you know, we think of a little funnel like whoo, 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 whoo. The storm be miles wide. When it come, it rips up everything in its path. You could be sitting there drinking coffee, and all of a sudden you're looking up at the sky. You're talking about, I don't want to go to Oz. Those how the storms are. Jesus is walking on the thing that should have killed him. He has suspended natural laws to get to them, because he knew, after you gave your life to him, that you would face some difficult circumstances. He knew. That you would go through some tough days. He knew that you'd have some difficult days in your marriage and in your family. He knew. And yet he still saved you. He got one thing on his mind for you. It is, with blessing I will bless thee, and with multiplying I will multiply thee. He never said, with cursing I'm going to curse you. What you do is you get yourself out of God's perfect will, and you start talking about the storm and how big they is. You start talking about the judge, and you start talking about the money, and you start talking about what you don't got, and you start talking about the preacher. You start talking about all the stuff that don't mean a hill of peace, when you ought to be talking about him. How big he is. Please. The devil is a liar. This word will work for whoever. The Bible says Jesus, the first words he tells faith people is this: don't be afraid. And these are the words I'm telling you. If you're going to live for God, you cannot be afraid to live wholeheartedly. You can't be afraid to give and to sacrifice everything. You can't keep looking at your talent level and your skill level and your job and your paycheck. You got to find a place, because if not, stop wasting your time going to church every week, hearing somebody preach to you every week about principles of the Word of God, and never a day saying, yes, I'm going to grab hold of that, and I'm going to operate in that. I'm going to live by that. I'm going to trust that. Come on now. God, he needs you to know he loves you in your storm. And he wants to be your deliverer in the storm. And the first thing he's telling you is, don't be afraid. Peace, be still. I got you. Just like I got this. Come on. God, he wants to convey this on today. Is that, watch this. It says, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I am. He tells them, in the midst of the storm, that it's me. I am. He declares Jehovah in the midst of, and so what he's telling them, when you use the word Jehovah, you're really saying that whatever you need him to be, he becomes that. So I am your deliverer. I am your prosperer. I am your bank. I am your physician. I am your healer. I am your way out of no way. I am your bridge over trouble. He tells him in the midst of the storm, he says, don't be afraid. Why? I am whatever you need me to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And watch this. And then it says, then they willingly received him into the ship. My question to you is, will you let Jesus into the boat of your life? Will you let Jesus into the boat of your salvation? Watch this. Now you got to catch this. The Bible says, then they willingly received him into the ship. Now watch this. They had toiled all night. Been in a storm all night. Then watch this next verse. Jesus gets in the boat with them. It says, he gets into the ship. They received him into the ship. Watch this. Watch this next statement. And immediately the ship was at the land where they went. The miracle of right now. Watch this. Watch the miracle of right now. They were 5 miles in the middle of the sea. Toiling in the flesh, manufacturing some stuff in the flesh, making up some stuff in the flesh, living by fear in the flesh, walking by excuses in the flesh. But the moment they let Jesus in, the Bible says, when they put Jesus in the boat, where they couldn't get to in 2 hours, he showed up in a nanosecond. And he says they were 5 miles out, and the moment Jesus got in, the Bible says, they were at the place they were supposed to be. And I'm telling you, your situation is going to change in your life and in your family's life when you let him in fully. That's when you will get in the place you're supposed. And what you couldn't do in 5 years, when this anointing of acceleration gets upon you, you'll do it in 5 minutes. And what you couldn't do in 24 months, when this anointing of acceleration gets upon you, you'll be able to do it in 24 hours. What you could not do, amen, in the flesh, amen, all of these years, the moment that you let God, amen, fill up your life, you'll be able to do it in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You'll be able to go from the middle of the storm, in the middle of the ocean, to be able to touch down on dry land and be where you're supposed to be. You have not arrived yet. Do you know why you hadn't arrived, for some of you? Because you're so comfortable doing you. And you don't want to surrender your egotistical ways, even though you call yourself fakely humble. You don't want to let go of you and your ways and your attitude and what you thunk, when what you thunk don't mean a hill of beans. The only thing that matters is that you let him into your life. And let him take control of the ship. You know, when you're in a boat in a storm and you're already way out there, and what generally happens is people get so far off course, especially if they ain't got no power in the boat. Like the yacht recently. The yacht that just got stranded, and see what happened was, is that it had no power to move on its own. So it started drifting miles off course, because the current start taking it to some place it was never navigated to go. And this is what's going on in some of your life. is because you don't operate with the power that's on the inside, because you still live from the flesh, is that you're so far off course and the storm is sweeping you so far away from God. That's why you can love him this Sunday and I won't see you for another 30 days. Why? Because you're still in the storm and you hadn't received the full grace of God. You're still trying to do you, baby. And the more you do you, the more you fake your Christianity. The moment you surrender and let God, you let go and you let God. Literally, the Message Bible says, when Jesus got into the boat, immediately they were at the place where they were supposed to be. Why is your life off course? Because I just mix and match and make up stuff as I want to. The new thing is, I'm grown. I'm going to do me. The new thing is just everybody is just colorful and happy and friendly. Huh? Everybody want to be so unique. I was with my little brother a couple weeks ago, and he had on mismatched socks. You know, I'm old school. Everything, you don't match. I'm saying, dude, you awfully irklish. He said, hey, dude. He said, you know, I buy socks that they sell you three socks to one pair. And all three socks got a different design on the one pair. And I said, that's confusing enough to me. Because I only know one Jesus. There's no other way to God but through Jesus. I can't go through Allah. I can't go through Buddha. I can't come through Confucius. Because it's all confusing. But there's one thing I know. That once I was lost, out on the sea, amen, about to sink deep into the ocean, and then one day I saw Jesus for myself, and he had walked over my issues. He had walked over my drama. He had walked over my trials and my temptations and my tests. He had walked through my storm, and he had came into my life. And from that day, I've surrendered all. And said, it's no longer I that live, but I live now by the faith of the Son of God. I'm done, but I feel like preaching right here. I said, it's no longer I. I hope it's no longer you. I hope that you can make up in your sanctified mind that I'm willing to surrender all for the one who died for me. From the one who went down, amen, amen, at the cross of Calvary. The one who went down and shed his blood and bust hell wide open for me. I pray that is you, amen, that's decided to surrender everything, amen, to serve the Master. Where is the little lad inside of this building at 1409 Hayden Avenue that got two fishes and five loaves, but said, God, for you, I'm willing to give up my little. Because I realize little in the Master's hand can bring about much in a baby's life. All the children of God with all head bowed and all eyes closed.